SBS in deutscher Sprache.
Was steckt hinter dem Verschwinden des Malaysia Airline-Flieges MH370? Hört man die Erlebnisse von Blaine Gibson, einem US-Anwalt, der mehr als die Hälfte aller bisher aufgefundenen Trümmerteile des vermissten Flugzeuges an der Küste Afrikas aufgespürt hat, so könnte man an eine Verschwörung glauben. Gibson erhielt bereits Todesdrohungen und wird vor allem von einigen malaysischen Internetnutzern regelrecht gestalkt. Das Verschwinden des Malaysia Airlines Fliegers MH370 gilt als das größte Rätsel der Fluggeschichte und ist für manche zur Obsession geworden, auch wenn sie keine Angehörigen an Bord hatten. 239 Menschen starben, als der Flieger im März 2014 von seiner Route nach Peking abwich und irgendwo im südlichen Indischen Ozean ins Meer stürzte. Ich habe mit Christine Negroni gesprochen, eine US-amerikanische Autorin, die sich auf Flugzeugabstürze spezialisiert hat und in ihrem Buch The Crash Detectives Investigating the World's Most Mysterious Air Disasters auch über MH370 geschrieben hat. Denn sie will nicht an eine Verschwörung glauben. Hi, Christine. Thank you for joining us here at SBS Radio. Now, we have had two big and costly searches for MH370 and no success so far. With today's technology, this seems almost impossible.
No, Barbara, I don't agree with that. I think that the world may be misunderstanding just how big the South Indian Ocean is and how small Boeing 777 is. This is not such an unusual thing for an airplane to disappear, considering those circumstances, and it certainly isn't the first. We start with Amelia Earhart, we go with the Pan Am Clipper, and other overwater flights that have disappeared. Remember, the ocean is big, the plane is small.
So in your book, obviously, you write about other crashes that you think are quite similar. There also was an incident with a Qantas plane in 2008. It had a good ending to it. The pilot saved the plane, but there were similarities.
Yes, well, you know, I think one of the things about looking for the airplane wreckage, while important, it has distracted people from some of the other information that's available outside of the airplane. Previous accidents that are similar and events that have happened similar to what we think happened to Malaysia 370. And one of them is this very mysterious loss of power on the aircraft early on in the flight on Malaysia 370. And there was a similar case with a Qantas aircraft back in 2008, and the Australian Investigation Agency took a look at it. And, you know, one of the things I'm sort of agitating for is why doesn't the Australian government and the Malaysian government compare what happened in that case and see whether what happened in that airplane could have happened to Malaysia 370, which would be very illuminating. Because right now we don't know why those satellite transmissions stopped and then started again. And that's a key piece of evidence.
Talking about key pieces of evidence, there's quite a lot of speculation at the moment. And in some cases, it seems not be warranted. There is a new book out that squarely blames the pilot for the tragedy. What's your opinion on doing that sort of blaming?
Well, I think it serves no benefit. And there has been no evidence to suggest that either one of these pilots were involved in a murder-suicide plot. But most importantly, the idea that this airplane was hijacked by the pilot relies on the fact that this writer, this air safety investigator, Larry Vance, says that the plane was configured for landing when it hit the water. And all of the evidence says that's not the case. They looked at the piece of the wing flap that he's talking about and said it was not in a configuration for landing. So the whole thing seems to be made up of whole cloth. I'm not sure why he believes this or what he's trying to do, but it disparages two people who may have done nothing wrong and doesn't bring us any closer to coming up with an answer to what happened.
But there are questions that still need to be answered and can be answered by the authorities, in your opinion. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have several things that happened on this airplane that are indicative of pilot incapacitation. The crew oxygen, the masks that the pilots would have used had there been a depressurization of the aircraft, were serviced right before the flight. That certainly raises questions as to whether, if there was a depressurization, whether the pilots would have gotten sufficient oxygen to remain mentally alert. You know, we need to know about that. Certainly Boeing and Rolls-Royce have all sorts of data about the way this airplane would have performed that they can be sharing with investigators, with the public. They're not doing that. The Australians are sitting on information that they're not exactly sharing. And most significantly of all, Barbara, is the Malaysians. I mean, they're the ones with access to the pilot records, to the airplane records, to the maintenance history, to the cargo. They have all of this information, and they have very, very reticent to give any of that information out. That makes me wonder, why are the Malaysians not being more forthright with what they're discovering? Or maybe they're not looking into it at all. Maybe they're merely content to let this airplane sit in the ocean and hope that eventually questions will go away.
Thank you very much, Christine. I think that is a few important questions that we need to raise and hopefully find answers in the future. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you so much for letting me talk about the crash detectives.
Kommentieren Sie unsere Inhalte. Liken Sie uns auf facebook.com/sbsgerman.